So this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM, and our guest is Tony Leah, Unifor Oshawa. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm good, Phil.
So we're trying to figure out about the $13 billion deal that apparently you has landed, and the country is celebrating. And we're told that there's going to be a battery-producing plant that is going to be bigger than 300 football fields. I think they use that phrase. That really sounds like a big deal, 300 football fields. But the leader of your union has put up the word but on her congratulations on that. She says they're showing vision. It's good that this is commitment of money to build something important. But we need to know that it's going to bring jobs and union jobs.
Yes.
So we spoke to you, I think, maybe a week or two ago about this, but how come that isn't part of the language? Incidentally, this involves, we work closely with our president, Joe Biden, and he likes to say good union jobs. Why didn't somebody say that in this deal?
That's a very good question, and it's certainly not guaranteed. And even in the United States, whatever the rhetoric is, the unionization of these new investments has not been guaranteed. And the whole idea of this kind of investment is based upon the idea that we have to give corporations money. Wheelbarrows full of money in order to have some jobs here. And then it's a real cap in hand kind of approach. And the amount of money for this battery assembly operation is absolutely stunning. $13.2 billion from the federal government and more money from the provincial government over...
By the way, why is that a blank? I never hear a number.
From the provincial government?
Yeah.
They promised, I think, $500 million and plus an unspecified amount for other things that they're going to do to benefit the creation of the plant, like infrastructure and roads and I don't know what. So the total number actually hasn't been announced.
Mm-hmm.
But that's on top of the $13.2 billion from the federal government. It's an absolutely stunning amount of money when you consider that what we're being promised is that there might be up to 3,000 jobs assembling batteries in this operation for Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
So the real beneficiary of this is the Volkswagen Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Workers always get to work and generate profits for corporations. But how much are they going to be getting paid? What are their working conditions going to be like? As you point out, are they going to have a union? I guess that's going to be up to the workers themselves once they're in place. But one of the big issues that's been identified with these electric vehicle battery operations, they're called gigafactories, and there's a number of them now. And one of the big issues is the wage rates, because the corporations that build the vehicles, GM, Ford, Stellantis, Volkswagen, are creating joint ventures or subsidiary corporations to manufacture the batteries with the intent of separating them from the collective agreements for the auto assembly workers. And at lower wages and without the same benefits. That's their goal.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Fain, who's the new president of the UIW, has already identified that as a major issue that they're going to be going after in their bargaining this year with the auto companies.
By the way, I don't know if this attracts the attention of United Auto Workers, your cousins in the States. You wouldn't know if they've commented on it.
I can't find any comment on this particular investment. No, but
where does this, where does the battery business fit into the production of Volkswagen? I mean, they're going to have plant this here. Is it connected to some other plant elsewhere? What's the deal?
They don't have any assembly operations anywhere near this plant, so it seems clear that the batteries that are going to be produced, and they're not going to be actually producing them, they estimate until 2027, 4 years from now, mm-hmm. will be going to plants where they will be assembling electric vehicles. Like they have a plant in Chattanooga, which is going to be producing electric vehicles. They have one in Puebla, Mexico, and they're going to be building a new plant in Columbia, South Carolina. So that's where the batteries are going to be going. It's a rather long supply chain, and you know it's only one small component of it. There isn't a huge amount of labor associated with the assembly of the batteries. It's just one.
Well, following on that, does Volkswagen, they operate in North America. How many of their plants are union?
None in the United States at the moment. They have plants in Mexico where there are unions. Mm-hmm. So the
well, we can fix that. There are plans, as I understand it, to fix that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a union at the Puebla plant. 7,000 workers. They just negotiated a 9% wage increase last year. Mm-hmm. There's a union at the another plant, which is Audi, which I think is associated with Volkswagen, where they negotiated a 9.4% wage increase this year. Mm-hmm. So there are active unions in the Mexican auto industry, including at Volkswagen.
Yeah, but not in the United States. But Volkswagen does produce an automobile in the U.S., and they're not organized.
Yep, they have a plant in Chattanooga that's been the UAW has tried to organize and not been successful so far.
So the rather complacent notion, which I think people are getting, is that, oh, well, of course it'll be organized. There's really no reason to assume that.
No.
We do have a number of plants here that are not organized, right?
Yes. There's five major auto companies producing vehicles in Ontario, including Honda and Toyota, and the Honda and Toyota plants, which are huge, are non-union.
That's it's funny that this, I shouldn't say it's funny, it's kind of sad that this is not discussed. I'm not aware of even union journals talking about it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And you're right that Lana Payne mentioned that these jobs should be good jobs and unionized jobs, but the union that she leads, the Unifor, has so far not been successful at organizing the assembly plants and for Toyota workers and Honda workers in Ontario. Mm-hmm. And so it's certainly not a slam dunk that this, you know, 3,000 jobs in this battery operation would be unionized. That's not clear at all.
Yeah. And there's another issue that, and we're speaking to Tony Lea. He is a veteran of Unifor and was, as once CAW, you were probably once United Auto Workers. You've been in all three, haven't you?
When I got hired at General Motors in Oshawa, it was the UAW, the Canadian section of the UAW, yes.
So you've been over the hill and back on this. Now, you've noticed the headlines and the way this is discussed, and everybody's just like a cheerleading on this and how happy we should all be. And there's talk about jobs that will be created as a result of the $13 billion and the creation of a plant with, I think, it was it 2,400 projected? I forget
how
many.
They're saying up to 3,000 jobs.
Up to 3,000. So, but then there's this kind of assumption, and I guess, and some have written about it, that there are what you call downstream jobs.
Yeah, spin-off jobs. Yeah.
Spin-off jobs. So there's, but you make a distinction between plants that produce batteries and produce cars where you don't get the same spin-off numbers. Could you talk about that?
Sure. It's commonly said that an auto assembly plant, that for every job at an auto assembly plant, there'd be another seven jobs producing parts and associated work with that assembly plant. I'm not sure if it's 100% accurate, but it certainly has been said for a long time based on the immense number of parts that go into assembling automobiles. So there's a very big supply chain, and there are a lot of jobs associated with producing the parts. Batteries, the electric batteries, have far, far, far fewer parts. And so the associated jobs could be considered to be mining of the raw materials, although that won't be in place for years yet for this particular battery plant. So at least initially, that those jobs aren't even going to be part of it. And, a small number of parts. To me, would not make sense at all that there would be the number that they've announced. And it was just a bald assertion when they had the announcement that there was going to be 30,000 spin-off jobs associated with the 3,000.
Yeah. Where do they, you probably think about these things. Where do they get numbers like that? Who produces those things?
In this one, I think that somebody was just smoking something funny and made up a number because there's absolutely no connection. And I came across a funny reference before they made that announcement, but they had announced that the plant was going to be in St. Thomas. They interviewed somebody we've talked about before, Flavio Volpe, from the Auto Parts Manufacturers Association. He's an industry representative, represents the companies that produce parts for auto companies. Mm-hmm. But before they announced the number, he estimated there'd be 5,000 spin-off jobs.
Five.
5,000.
That's 25,000 less than 30, right? 5,000 less. Yeah, 25,000 less.
And so then, when they had the actual announcement, they said, oh, it's going to be 30,000. So I don't think that there's any.
And Flavio kept his peace. And
I didn't notice him
looked out
saying,
the window.
Wait a minute.
I noticed they're not asking, by the way, union people to talk about this. They go to Flavio. I like to call him Flavio. I like that name. But anyway, Flavio was given about 20 minutes on national television to chat about it. Why didn't they call up Lana Payne? Why didn't they call up, people in the industry? How about skeptics? Somebody who says, I'm not sure about this. No, instead we go to a rah-rah guy.
And of course he's connected with the provincial and federal governments and the industry, and that's what they want. And there's no doubt it's good for the corporations. It's a great deal for Volkswagen, and it's an open question whether it's the best investment of the money of the citizens of Ontario and Canada.
Yeah, and, they must have been at the head office of VW. They must have been like the fisherman who says, hey, it's on the line. He's got the hook in the mouth. By the way, you have a fellow trade unionist here, Phil Conlon, a veteran of many unions.
Well, the first thing I want to comment on is that the numbers are so crazy that even in this conversation, we heard 3,000 and we heard 30,000 and we heard 5,000. I have to say 3,000 jobs, the arithmetic works out to $4.33 million per job. So if it was 30,000 jobs, it's still $433,000 per job. Now, if you have that much money to spend on some working class people, there's a lot of wonderful things you can do. But I also wanted to comment on the choice of St. Thomas, or the Woodstock area, as they like to say. And we just said, well, okay, of course, we're going to put it there. Years ago, when Toyota and the Japanese automakers were coming here and were looking to for places to build plants, And I hope my good friend Dr. Reuben Roth is listening, because he's the sociologist and he would know where the study is. But they did studies of like demographic studies of who the population is in a particular area that they would hire. And some genius working for the auto companies said, well, you know, the people who we would hire in the Woodstock area tend to be not pro-union for various... I couldn't understand why it was they thought these people would be resistant to unionism. It might have had to do with religion or ethnicity or something. But it was very unclear. But they all agreed, no, that's a very good area to put an auto plant in because the workers are not going to join unions. And it's the same area now. Now, all of a sudden, I mean, St. Thomas is not exactly the center of industrial activity in Ontario. And all of a sudden, where did that come from? And why does nobody talk? Why isn't this plant, for instance, going to be in the GTA? That would make a lot more sense. Bigger labor force to draw from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think being rural is also part of the calculation that people who live in rural areas may have less experience and commitment to unions. Although there is a different wrinkle with St. Thomas, because St. Thomas was the site of a major Ford assembly plant up until a few years ago that was built in the 1960s. So there is some residue of union history in that area, and we'll have to see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm. Well, lastly, Tony, you're one of those who projected we're headed for electric vehicles, and everybody's going to be affected by this, aren't they? I mean, you mentioned the production of it's a less complicated vehicle with batteries. So actually, does that mean contracting of the number of people needed to produce right across the our continent?
Yes, absolutely. The number of assembly jobs for electric vehicles might be a third less than for the gasoline engine vehicles. So that is definitely going to be driving down the number of vehicles. And the other factor, which gets talked about a lot less, is the degree to which there would be, I believe, a likely switch away from individually owned vehicles to vehicles that are pooled or part of fleets.
Uh-huh. This is where we need the sound of the shark.
The number of vehicles, I think, it could decline substantially. And, of course, that would mean far fewer assembly jobs as well.
You're not just science fiction here. I mean, we're seeing this is starting to develop, right? I read about, I think it's in China, which we're not supposed to talk about, but I understand that they have fleets of vehicles now operating, which are done remote, right?
Autonomous, yes.
Yeah.
Driverless vehicles.
I don't even know how to talk about them. I know one when I see it.
They are leading that research, although there's billions of dollars being invested in it in other parts of the world, including by General Motors, Ford, Stellantis, and Volkswagen. GM, I think, is really in the lead amongst the traditional automakers in heading in that direction. Yeah. And China generally is far ahead of the rest of the world in vehicle assembly. Anyway, They last year produced 27 million vehicles, and I think that
that's as much as we produce.
Far, far more. The second country is the United States at less than half that, 12 million. And of the 27 million vehicles that were assembled in China last year, I think 20% of them were electric. Hmm. So they're far ahead of everybody else in developing that technology.
They just had a big meeting in Shanghai, I believe, the automakers, where everybody said, of course, it's in Shanghai. That's where they, you know, they are way ahead of everybody.
Well, can we buy one of these Chinese cars in Canada, Tony? Are there dealers?
Not at the moment, but they are available in Europe. Economy.
It's kind of hard to blow up a Nord Stream pipeline producing cars. That's
there's a very popular Chinese electric vehicle that is available now for about $11,000, I think.
Buses. Now that we've all said this, the Chinese electrically driven, I still can't forget the terminology, are showing up in the streets of Havana. The bus system. So their buses are ahead of us, despite the blockade. Well, Tony, it's very enlightening. It's almost too enlightening. It's intriguing. You open more doors than you close. There's a lot of stuff to go into. We look forward to talking about this more, but it should be nice if the union movement would start talking about how we're going to organize these auto plants, not just the new one, not just the battery, but the all those other plants that are already here and not organized.
So, yeah, and absolutely, the unions have to play a leading role in it. I read another comment today from Sean Fain where he said that he has been having discussions with Lana Payne about the bargaining that's coming up this year in order to coordinate that bargaining. I haven't seen the same forthright kind of statements coming from Unifor or Lana, but it's good to know that those conversations are happening because we are going to be able to wrestle with these issues better if there's more cooperation between workers and unions in the United States and Canada and also Mexico.
Yeah, and the we used to call it the big tree. We don't say that anymore. But the contracts come up basically around Labor Day, and some of these issues we hope will be on the table.
They have to be, yes.
Yeah. Well, Tony Leith, Unifor, thank you very, very much. I should say CAW-UAW Unifor. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Phil.
Okay, okay. This is a Taylor Report. It is CIUT. I think Shea promised he'd play a little bit of Lee Morgan, and then we'll be back.